Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to United Hour, your one-stop shop for all things Manchester United. I'm your host, Nick.
And I'm Imran.
Yeah, you lucky listeners are getting a double dose of us this week, recording literally minutes after full time off the Atletico Madrid game. Where did you watch this game, Imran?
At my brother's house. He has BT Sport Actual, so I can watch it live. If I watch it at my own house, I have to watch it on my laptop, so it's like a minute behind. So often things get spoiled.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you can't join in the match day Discord then, can you?
Because, no.
Whoever's up in the wrong time. But there always seems to be somebody who's about 3 minutes behind nowadays.
But I, at one point, I forgot that I was watching it live. And Jamie put on the chat, he put Telez with like a exclamation mark and a like hearts and eyes emoji. And I was like, oh shit, it's Telez scored. Then I realized, no, he's just done a bit of skill that I already just watched. I was very confused for a minute.
Yeah, I'm actually away with work at the moment, so I actually
Shock horror.
Well, I've not been away for a while, but I'm actually watching this game in Casablanca, where I arrived last night. And I tried to scope out a really good football cafe. So yesterday I thought I'd found the perfect place. Went in today and said, yeah, we'll be showing football later. I checked all the fixtures, because the problem is you have to see if Manchester United are the best show on tonight. And if Real Madrid or Barcelona or Paris Saint-Germain are playing, they're like bigger draws out here. But I checked it was Ajax, so I said, oh yeah, we're going to be on. But I hadn't counted for the fact that there was a big local cup game on, and in fact when I went in the cafe they were showing Wydad Casablanca versus Agadir in the Moroccan Cup. So
I mean, that's the game you want to watch. What was the score in that one?
It was half time, and I think it was 1-1 or something.
Oh,
and
there
was
you just, go, you see, goal flying.
And I was like, oh no, I'd have to miss the first half. So yeah, I went back to the hotel and watched it in my room. But I mean, I know after about, 15 minutes in the kind of group chat, you said, oh, I would take 1-0 here. Because we obviously started badly. So in the end, you must be absolutely ecstatic.
That's a cracking result, really, for how we played in the first half away at Atletico Madrid. And yes, they're not great this season, Atletico. Not maybe the Atletico of old few years ago. But with how we were, in particular in the first half, and just how we are this season, our Jekyll and Hyde nature often, which one's the bad one of Jekyll and Hyde?
Jekyll.
Our Jekyll nature. I mean, 1-1. If you'd offered me 1-1 at 15 minutes, I'd have said, that is a very generous offer you're giving me, and I'd run away with it. So very happy with the result.
Yeah, I mean, we started this game awfully. We just couldn't even manage to... Well, I was going to say we couldn't string two passes together, but we actually had a load of possession, but in absolutely just worthless possession in our half. And as soon as we tried to progress anything and go into their half, we just gave it away immediately. You know, they were like out-battling us for every 50-50. And, you know, they had the minority possession, which is strange when you're going away in Europe, but they've managed to get a goal from it. And at half-time, we were obviously very happy to be still in the game, really, because they... you know, they had a couple of other chances as well.
They were just, I mean, it was just a bit frantic, wasn't it? And we never do well with frantic, I guess. Pogba likes his calmness on the ball. He likes touches. He wasn't getting that. When Fred gets a bit frantic, then it can all go to pot. Bruno was having one of his worst games for quite a while. So we're just losing the ball all the time in midfield. Passes out of the back weren't great. And Atletico were just harrying us and doing their usual athletic thing, being rough, being aggressive and putting it up us, and we didn't really like it. And they were winning the ball back in decent positions, putting in some really good crosses, actually. They had that chance just before the goal with, I think the ball fell to someone in the box, and Lindelof put in a great slide tackle. And that kind of set their tone for their first half. And then, the goal came. And it was deserved. And we just weren't in it, really. We just weren't offering anything at all.
It was a very good goal. I mean,
it was an excellent goal, that. I thought it was an absolutely beautiful goal. I saw some people say, oh, De Gea kicked the ball out for a throw-in beforehand. It's like, that's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes before the actual goal itself. I think sometimes you do have to hold your hand up and say, that is an excellent goal. Yes, Maguire probably can do a bit more to put him off. He's got a bit of space, but I mean, it's just a fantastic diving header from a great cross. And hold your hands up, that is a great goal.
Yeah, and João Felix is one of the most expensive players of all time, one of the few hundred million plus players. But yeah, he does look a talent. And yeah, definitely the better of the two number sevens on show today, with Ronaldo trying to get a good record back in Madrid, but not offering that much today, unfortunately. One of the surprises in the lineup was Lindelof in at kind of right back. I think we've maybe only seen on one occasion before, but I thought he had actually a pretty good game before.
Yeah, he did.
He had to get subbed because he was on a yellow and getting kind of harassed a fair bit, so I thought it was a fair enough sub. But I thought he actually had a pretty good game over there.
Yeah, I think he was better than Varane and Maguire, who neither of which had particularly good games. I thought he did well. It is telling, I guess, that Ragnik would rather put Lindelof at right back than an actual right back in Wan-Bissaka at right back.
I mean, Dallow was there as well. He was on the bench. I expected him to play
maybe
today.
Maybe Dallow was maybe not fully fit, maybe. Is the only thing I could think of. Because he didn't even come on, did he? Put Wan-Bissaka on instead of Dallow?
Yeah, I mean, Wan-Bissaka is, you know, the more solid defender. And at that
point,
he
brought him on at 1-0, which would make me think that maybe Dallow wasn't totally fully fit. But then what's he doing on the bench, I guess? But yeah, just interesting that he would rather put Lindelof. But to be fair, Lindelof was one of our best players against Leeds, and it would have been very harsh to take him out of the team, but that's probably not how, in which case he should be playing at centre-back, not Varane or Maguire. I thought he had a very good game, but fair enough sub. I thought he was our best player in the first half, but I mean, that's not exactly a hotly contested award.
Absolutely awful performances. Bruno and Pogba in particular, Rashford also had a bit of a mare, just constantly giving it away, whenever we were trying to get something going. I mean, McTominay's ill, so missing. We end up with the Frogba midfield. And I don't know, any time we've played this combination, I think it's very rarely that it's looked good for us. They don't seem a winning combo for us at all.
It's one of our lesser seen midfields, I guess. I'm trying to remember. Can you, off the top of your head, remember a time? Last time that we saw them together? The thing is, McTominay plays all the time. That's the thing. I think Rangnick, this is the first time. Well, again, it was forced today, though, wasn't it? Because he's injured. Yeah. Rangnick hasn't not started McTominay unless it's been forced, or I think he didn't in the cup as well when he rotated. But Rangnick always starts McTominay, and so did Ollie to an extent. So, yeah, it's just, I can't really recall a Pogba friend in the field. But like I said,
they have a feature together probably like, I'd say, four or five times.
Right.
I think we lost a couple of them. There was we played Wolves, and I think we beat them with that midfield, and that was one of the few times it actually worked all right. I mean, the thing is, like, Fred's been kind of moved up into a slightly more advanced role a lot of the time, whereas now he's moved back into the number six defensive position.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I think we're seeing the best of Fred when he's being an eight and can.
Definitely.
He's not having to be so disciplined and positionally having to sit back when he can go maraudering and getting the ball and winning the ball and just being crazy Fred, then it's better Fred. I think disciplined sitting Fred, especially when like he's harried on the ball and he's got to get rid of it quickly and pass it accurately, then that's it's not his really his game. And similarly with Pogba, off to fair, like sometimes Pogba in a frantic game, you'll see him, he'll get the ball and he'll hold off three men and he'll turn and you'll be on your way and you think that's brilliant, Pogba. Then other times like today, he'll get the ball, there'll be three men on it and they'll take the ball off him. Because there's three of them.
That's
and
what
one
we needed today, exactly. You know, he was the one who should be the one who can keep hold of it, try and keep some possession. Really, like you say, because you know it's not going to be Fred. And that area, it's got to be Pogba and Bruno doing the kind of work in the middle. But that's where we were losing it again and again and again. And, you know, everybody was calling for kind of changes at half time. But yeah, didn't come any. Ralph sent them out again. And I think it was an improved kind of performance second half. Only
but then
because
I think Atletico kind of sat off a bit as well.
Well, they sat off the whole match.
Well, no, not in the first. In the first 20 minutes, they came out of the blocks a bit.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as they got their goal.
Yeah, but then and they kept on harrying us for most of the first half. I think second half, they either the tempo died or they were just content a bit to try catch us, but catch us on the break. But we did improve slightly in the second half. Then I thought we improved much more when the substitutions came on.
Yeah, we improved a lot in battling better. There was still a lack of quality on the ball, lack of no real like great moves. We just basically made it a bit more of a battle. Like I said, first off, they were winning every 50-50. Every kind of header was going their way. Whereas in the second half, and you know, they were fouling us a lot and we weren't really getting stuck in it. I mean, the second half, to be fair, if we weren't going to win the ball cleanly, then the players were at least making sure they weren't getting past us. And that's the kind of battle you need to get into when you're playing a Simone Atletico Madrid, you know, the way they're going to be.
We actually got a bit more time on the ball as well. There were times when then Bruno actually had a bit of time on the ball, Rashford had time on the ball, but then they were just not doing anything good with it. And that was the problem then. It was like, finally, we're not getting harried. We have that time in the ball, but we're not producing quality. And yeah, both of them two really had stinkers. But then Bruno, as he does often, came up with a good with an assist. Not the most outrageous assist, but it was a good pass. And that's what Bruno can do. Like, he can be terrible the entire game, but still come up with that key pass.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, some people were pretty shocked when I posted it in the Discord chat that we'd had like 67% possession by like kind of, you know, around like the half time and even going towards the hour mark. But we'd done so little for it. But I think there was only one shot on target by coming around the hour mark from Atletico Madrid, and they've scored from it. We had none. And it wasn't really till, you know, the substitutions come that the game changes a bit. I mean, there was quite a bit of chat on the last pod between Colm and Jamie about Ralph's in-games management. I mean, yeah, we touched on it before as well. It was a big thing during Ole's time that we said was a major downfall. I think one thing I like about Ranić is that he doesn't mind taking a bit of a gamble. He'll take off like a defensive midfielder and throw in an attacker, whereas that's something that Ole would never do. He would often just go like for like, or very late on, like the last 10 minutes, he might throw in an extra attacker, but Ralph's not afraid to do that on occasion. I mean, yeah, he's not actually done it today.
No, today his first three were just three defensive changes, weren't they, today? To kind of put I think he put on Matic. Well, he took off Lindelof because he was on a booking, I think. Same with Shaw then. And I think he just put on Matic to try and get a bit of a hold in the midfield, which actually worked.
I thought Matic should have come on earlier, even at half-time.
Probably,
I was saying,
he could have come on a bit earlier. But then you run the risk of Matic not being able to put in more than half an hour. I think half an hour is Matic's sweet spot.
It was a good half an hour, but yeah.
I mean, I thought it genuinely was a very good performance, very calm, professional, wise, like wily, and he was a bit of a dick as well and kind of needed that. I love how he was feigning cramp after, 20 minutes on the pitch? Well, I got a bit cramp here, lads. Gonna sit down. But he was just calm, just like he put in that number six role, bit of calm head, put being in the right place, putting his foot on the ball, picking out a pass, just doing things that a defensive midfielder should do. And it just reminds you, oh yeah, that's what a pure defensive midfielder does, that sort of thing. And it's a shame that he's just old now and doesn't have the legs and he's a bit slow, but he still has the brains, still has a bit of quality, and he can do that sort of thing in short bursts. And we did need it, and he provided it, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about battling midfield performance, Kondogbia on their side was absolutely outstanding for them.
He was everywhere, was Kondogbia.
Yeah, I mean, we've been linked with him a fair bit in the past, haven't we?
I remember there was a game, it might even be like 10 years ago now or something, I think, when he was still in France, I think, and Arsenal played against him, and he was like, he was the up-and-coming next thing. and everyone wanted a Condogbia. And then I don't know, he kind of plodded around. I think he went to Italy and now he's in Spain. But yeah, cracking performance from him.
Yeah, look, maybe we can still have a look at him. You know, this constant still talk about...
How old is he now?
Not sure, actually, but yeah, he has been around a while. But yeah, he's one of those players that kind of we get linked with for about 10 years and then he actually comes to us when he's way past it. And like,
oh, he's 29 now. He might as well be 50. 29? It's ancient, that.
No, we'll see. But yeah, look, as you say, I was kind of very underwhelmed when that triple sub came up. I was like, Matic, Wan-Bissaka, Telles. Okay. But yeah, look, it was kind of just for fresh legs in certain areas and kind of made sense.
That's the kind of subs that I like. Like, people often talk about, oh, we don't have the quality on the bench, yada, yada. Sometimes just putting on someone with fresh legs is better than someone who's played for an hour and isn't having a great game. Like, say, for Luke Shaw, played for an hour, not having a great game. Put on Telles, he's fresh legs. He might do better. Like, there's often nothing wrong with just putting on fresh legs. And that's what used to really frustrate me with Ole, because we get to 80 minutes and everyone's looking knackered and we just won't have any fresh legs on the pitch. And it's like, just change it up, put some impetus on the pitch. And yeah, it was good to see that we did that today.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, Fergie always used to make subs around the 60-minute mark, whereas, you know, Ole always left it like 75, 80 minutes far too often. So yeah, Ralph, glad he was kind of ringing the changes earlier. And yeah, it did make a kind of bit of difference. Like I say, our second half was okay. It was just like, you know, neither side, it was just like a battle. Neither side was creating that much. The goalies didn't have that much to do. But yeah, we were basically way improved from an awful, awful first half. And then, yeah, one chance finally falls to us and Elanga manages to put it away. I know half time, Oshwin was saying, listen, Elanga should come on. We've got nobody who's going in behind. And that's exactly what made the difference in the end.
I was slightly worried about Elanga coming on at half time. I thought he might get bullied a bit if he came on straight at half time. I think it was better to come in on when they were a bit tired and he could then run behind again, have a bit more fresher legs. I think if he'd come on at halftime, it might be a bit too early for him, but I think he got brought on at the right time. Even though Rashford was having a stinker, I thought he'd come on at the right time to start stretching him a bit. He only had to do it once as well. And yeah, I think I take all these listeners behind the curtain. We played Leeds on Sunday. We had a bit of a discussion in the Discord. Become a Patreon, you can join us on our Discord about Elanga, and I wonderfully said, I'm not sure he's that good. Since then, he's scored against Leeds and he's scored against Atletico Madrid, so I'm gonna claim a hex that I put on Elanga to be the reason that he's just come up with two goals.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised that you said you didn't think he was that great, because I think it's been a great kind of breakout season for us. You know, we saw a flash of him the end of last season and he got a goal as well. I think he was lucky. You know, Ralph really fancied him when he came in. And I think he made a kind of choice between Elanga and Ahmad for which one stuck around and which one went on loan. Elanga gets the nod. You know, he's only 19. Some people don't know that he's actually a Swedish youth international. His dad played for Cameroon and he was actually born.
They're trying to claim him, aren't they?
Well, I think they can, because, yeah, like I said, his dad's born, raised Cameroon, but he was playing for, I think, Malmo in Sweden at the time, then settled over there. So that's why Elanga has grown up there. But he's been at Man United Academy since very young as well. So, yeah, we can call him an academy product for sure.
By not very good, what I meant, to clarify, it's not that I thought he was crap or anything. I said he was quite hardworking and kind of what we need now, like a good hard worker kind of thing. Doing the job, doing it, like, you know, being a good body. But I thought he kind of maybe lacked that quality that you need to play for United. And he still might, to be fair.
At 19, that's, you know, yeah, pretty hard to make that.
It's kind of, you're kind of just prophesizing into the future kind of thing. But I'm not saying that he should not be in the team or anything. He definitely has a place in our squad at the moment. Should be starting games even, because he has that. You know,
he should be, especially, you know, Rashford is way off form, and I know you don't like it when Jesse Lingard comes on the field every time.
There's absolutely zero need for Jesse Lingard to come on the pitch. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
But look, he's part of the squad. He's a decent player. At the moment, we're like, you know, we're Ralph, because he got rid of a few, we're lowish on numbers, and as soon as you get a couple of injuries, then yeah, you don't have that many options left, really.
You don't, but then you look at Lingard against Leeds, a man who could not be asked. Literally pulled out 50-50s, and if you're getting a player who's pulling out 50-50s playing for you, then there's something wrong there. I don't get it. Sorry, this isn't even about Jesse Lingard. But yeah, no, Elanga, very good. Very good goal as well. Although, to be fair, Oblak was terrible in net for them. I don't know what he's doing, is their keeper. It's not even... He kind of scuffs the finish a little bit, and it didn't even go anywhere near the corner. It's just Oblak is in an absolutely terrible position. He comes out, kind of goes halfway, and he's really far wide of his post, and it's just a terrible position from him. He's like worst ever season. I think he's got one of the worst save percentages in the top five leagues or something like that. And Atletico Madrid themselves, I think they've conceded like 32 goals in 20 odd games. And I think it's more than they conceded for the entirety of last season. So yeah, which is weird because I thought, in summer I said Oblak would be a good one to replace De Gea, but one's gone one way and the other's going another way, it seems.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a weird season, Atletico, because they're the champions, some people might forget, but they've been struggling this year. But it looked like they were, you know, they knew their league was kind of a write-off and they're just fighting for Champions League places. So they've gone all in on the Champions League. You could see how crazily up for it was. And we've only played them once in our kind of history, back in 1991, in the Cup Winners' Cup. And we were actually the defending champions then and they knocked us out. It's been a long, long time since we've had any chance to have, like, revenge for that. You know, at 1-1 now, we've got to be feeling confident. We've actually got 3 games in the league until we play Atletico again. We've got Watford at home, Man City away, and Tottenham at home. So we'd had, on paper, a relatively kind of easy run, which is finishing now in February with Watford at home. And then we got an absolute crazy run of games, as I say. City, yeah. Tottenham, Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Leicester, and that's going to be a mad kind of march for us. And we'll basically define our season, that March run.
But kind of odd in a way as well, because we don't have any midweek games until the next Atletico Madrid game. Unusual for us. So we've got a bit of a rest between these games, which is kind of good.
But that's right, yeah, we've caught up now on our games, and you know, other teams are playing catch up.
And we're
great to see. Yeah, exactly. You know, great to see Tottenham drop points today after beating City. Arsenal, Wolves tomorrow.
Just on top, yeah. Have you heard Conte today? Oh, the man is...
I've not actually seen what he said. I just saw kind of a report about it.
I need to talk... This is Conte. I need to talk to the club. Tottenham have to make an assessment about the club and about me. We need to find the best solution. I can't accept to keep losing. I'm sorry.
Well, you remember, like, you know, he was obviously so strongly linked with us when Ole was struggling and loads of people were, like, pissed off that we didn't get him. I know Colm, for example, said on here that I think we really missed out there and that Tottenham could well finish above us. I mean, yeah, it's still far from over. But this is exactly the reason why some people didn't want Conte, because he has these kind of Jose-style meltdowns and can end up making the club look pretty stupid. You know, I'm not saying it would have gone like that for us, but we're seeing exactly the reasons why a lot of United fans did not want Conte at that time. So yeah, it's been interesting to see where they're going. But you know, Arsenal are now still looking as like our main rivals for it, but yeah, there's a long way to go in that race. But let's see what kind of form we can go into in that second game. I mean, if we go throwing out some of the stats, XG for us goes 1.6 to Atletico Madrid and 0.4 for us. So showing the way that, you know, we should be pretty happy. But this is exactly the way we'd gone for a few games, where we were pulling 1-1 draws out of games where we thought we deserved to win, and XG showed it. You know, that Middlesbrough, Burnley, and what was the other one? There was a third game where we ended up 1-1 on somebody else crap who we shouldn't have drawn with. Yeah. Newcastle. but yeah, that's the kind of run we've been on. And look, sooner or later, you hope a little bit of luck goes for you, and it has done today. I mean, yeah, I know you before have said you did not think we were going to get top four. And I think, in fact, out of about, you know, 6, 7, 8 of us in the kind of podcast chat, there was only me and one other person.
Was it Ed, who said that he thought we could
still get top four. So you, where are you on that now? Because a few games up now, we're actually sitting in a decent position with Arsenal probably our main contenders. But yeah, look, there's still lots of football to be played for this year, and I think it's going to go all the way till the end of the season.
Still not sure, really. I mean, I still would say no. We're just not. Seems so inconsistent. Even today, like that first half performance, it's pretty rough, isn't it? Just impossible to say with us. So that's why I'm veering on the side of caution. Arsenal looking okay, Nick, although one of their games hand is against Spurs, so that might pull one of them away. We have, like you said, a difficult run, City and Liverpool to come. Although, I mean, Etihad is kind of decent stomping ground for us.
Well, under Ole it was.
Under Ole it was, so maybe Ralph can continue that. And to be fair, Mourinho. Didn't Mourinho beat one there 3-2, didn't he?
We have had some decent results there. It's going to be our first go at seeing how Ralph matches up in these really big games against, you know, supposedly the best managers. And there's a lot of talk, of course, about how he's not been in the management game that much recently. He's been more like, you know, in the boardroom and above. So, yeah, let's be very interesting to see how he comes in these tactical battles.
I feel like he's definitely growing into it a bit more now. I think he's... it's weird to say after, what, like 2 months or something, but it feels more like he is doing, especially with like his team selections and his substitutions and stuff, he's feeling more like a manager now than at first.
Yeah, and he's found the formation as well that the players are kind of comfortable with. That was the biggest issue in the first kind of period.
Yeah, that 4-2-2-2 thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it didn't work out. So he's, yeah, reverted to what they're kind of feeling over there. I mean, some people will be surprised to see the stat go out that since Ralf Rangnick has taken over, only Man City have won more points in the league than us. I mean,
Have we won more than Wolves?
Yeah. We've won the most points in that, although not everybody has played the same amount of games, to be fair. So we have played like one or two more than a few in that period. So it's a slightly lopsided stat, but still impressive on it. You know, as I say, some people might be surprised that we haven't lost under him. You know, all right, there was that Middlesbrough, but yeah, it was actually a 1-1 draw and we've gone out on penalties. So yeah, definitely hard to beat there. Let's hope by the time the Champions League comes back around, we can make some kind of progress in the league. I mean, if you had to stick your neck out on these kind of run of matches, which goes City, Spurs, Liverpool.
Watford first.
Yeah, like, all right, I was kind of, that's actually always the one that like slips us up, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You bypass it, and then that's the game we bloody don't win at Old Trafford against Watford, who have just get hammered by Palace 4-1. So, but go on, continue your point.
Well, go on. These three matches leading up to Atletico Madrid, at the moment, we're sat in a good position in fourth place. So yeah, Watford at home, Man City away, and Tottenham at home. How many points will you be happy with out of those three?
I would be happy with 6 points, I would be. I'd be happy with 6 points. I feel like if we lose to City, that's fine at the end of the day. They are Man City, they're very good. I feel like we should beat Tottenham and we should beat Watford, especially at home. But if we beat City, then I guess we can not beat Spurs. But I would hope we beat Spurs at home, and we should definitely beat Watford at home.
Yeah, look, I think even 5 points can be okay out of that. We just don't really. Yeah,
but then we'd be undefeated. So
yeah,
and I just City at Etihad. I'm not going into that expecting anything, I guess.
You just want to be in the game, you know. Because we said these were the games that killed Ole. It was City, Watford, Liverpool. So yeah,
the reverse of that, yeah. But I mean, we're a different side now. Still, we're less crap, basically, is my assessment. We're less crap.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and as well, just going anywhere in the Champions League from what our kind of form was before, you're going to be pretty happy with. How important do you think it is that we are back in the Champions League next season? I see this discussion on kind of Red Cafe. It's been like a popular thing. How important do you think it is for us to get that top four place?
Out of like all the latest, like the previous seasons, I feel like this is the least important, weirdly, because we will be getting a new manager, and I think being in the Champions League will affect our prospects of getting either Pochettino or Ten Hag, which looks like the club's two top choices anyway. I don't think that's an issue for them. And then in terms of signing the best players, well, maybe that's our issue, is that we always try to get these, like, we spend 100 million, 70 million on these, all these big names. Maybe we just need some actual decent footballers who fit a system. And to get those kind of footballers, you maybe don't need Champions League footballers, because we'd have to do a bit of scouting. Like, it'll be up to the manager who he wants to fit in his sort of system. And yeah, I mean, maybe we won't need Champions League football to attract that. Obviously, Haaland is the big one this summer, but I don't think we've really got a chance of getting him anyway, so it's not a big issue. And then players will want to leave maybe, but that's fine. Like, if Pogba goes, fine. If Ronaldo goes, fine. Cavani's probably off, fine. I don't think anyone else is banking on Champions League football to stay around. So I actually, out of all the seasons, this is probably the least important.
I mean, yeah, I kind of know where you're going, but I think, you know, the one thing that Ole did cement for us was being back as a top four Champions League team. You know, it was the first time since Fergie that we went back-to-back seasons. And I think if we get that again, even with all the turmoil, then it'll really feel that, you know, we're not in this constant up and down complete roller coaster of being in and out of Europe. So I think with this squad, we should still be doing it. As I said, even before that, I thought we could. And it's not, I know what you're saying about we're inconsistent, but it's, for me, it's constantly about, I don't think any of our contenders are that great either. You know, we're seeing Tottenham and whatever. I think West Ham, once they start playing in Europe now again, will start struggling to be going twice a week around. And Arsenal are actually the ones I'm most worried about. So, yeah, hope for some luck in the Wolves.
But then I don't think Arsenal will beat Wolves tomorrow, personally.
Well, then, yeah, and if Wolves were to win that, then you start worrying about them getting into the top four battle. But, yeah, so maybe like a draw tomorrow.
Are they still in Europe, Wolves? I feel like they are.
Nah, they weren't even in it.
Weren't they in the shitty conference thing?
Don't think so, no. Tottenham were in the conference thing, and they remember they didn't play their last match and were kind of disqualified, and then Leicester dropped into that crazy conference league or whatever. I think even Brendan Rodgers said he didn't have a clue what the point in that tournament was. I think you win a place in the Europa League, that's how shit that tournament is. That's your prize for winning the Europa Conference League. And yeah, that is exactly the other thing of why it's important that we get top four, because we do not want to end up in like dirt tournaments like the Europa Conference.
No, I think if we don't get fourth, we'll get fifth. I don't see us finishing below fifth.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess you're okay. Europa's not too bad. We've been in there a few times recently. But yeah, look, I'm still like pretty confident we can get this top four. I say Ralph has got us playing some pretty decent football. I mean, today you can't say it, but yeah, then he still managed to pull a result out even when we're not playing very well, which is encouraging. Because, you know, generally recently the problem has been the other way, where we thought we were playing okay and didn't manage to get that result in the end. And I think the players have got a little bit of that kind of mental toughness back. You could see that they were struggling a bit mentally recently. You know, there was comments from Maguire, from De Gea, where you could see that, you know, they're like a bit confused themselves at why they're not managing to get results. And I don't know whether it's the sports psychologist side of it or what's kind of making a difference, but they do seem to be coming out of that period a bit.
Yeah. It is weird, because it's like every week there's some seemingly nonsense story about someone that likes someone else's hair colour or shirt or the car park, whatever, and then someone has to say, oh no, I do like his bag, it's nice, whatever. This is how much attention I pay to these bullshit stories, I should say. Mentally, the win at Leeds seemed to be pretty good, pretty well celebrated, and then tonight again showed some mental toughness to stay in the game. So it's more that when things are going like properly tits up that you want to see it, but I guess that's not really happened for a few weeks. It's just been kind of, we struggle to score a goal and then the other team score.
No, I mean, and you know, the tabloids jump on all this stuff. Headlines that, like you say, 90% of it is absolute nonsense. And, you know, you see these stories about, oh, players have fallen out, dressing room split, like battle between Maguire and Ronaldo. And, you know, I think that these things are part of actually like every dressing room, and they're not actually that big a deal. You know, the only issue is, it's all about where are these stories coming from and where are the leaks coming from. And if you saw like Gary Neville come out recently and start saying, oh, I know who's leaking these stories. I'm not sure if he was actually talking about specific players, but he went on to talk about, you know, that players have PR people who try and put them in a good light and try and, you know, and it's normally players who are not playing. So, yeah, you know, a lot of fingers being pointed at the likes of Lingard. But, yeah, I think you'd be quite happy to point him out as one. But, yeah, we don't actually know if it is. But, you know, I don't know if you ever listen to, like, the official podcast where they go and talk to a lot of players and they bring out a lot of the people who've won loads of trophies under Fergie. And they always say that, you know, training at Manchester United was the most difficult you'll ever have. Like, players kick lumps out of you in training. They'd be constantly testing you. You'd get hair dryers from other players. You know, Fergie didn't even have to do it. And, you know, for me, I think that might actually be something that this team is lacking. Maybe they're all a bit too friendly, all a bit too nice and chummy to each other. And, you know, people moan about Ronaldo coming in and his body language. But when he was in the team, you know, I'm sure that he got like blasted by Keane or whoever if he was misplacing a pass. So, yeah, that's the way he's kind of been brought up. And that's what he does when he's on the pitch with the rest of the players. So I think a bit too much is made of negative body language and players like falling out with each other. I just, you know, for me, it's normal on a football pitch that you're just shouting and to getting everybody else going.
It's impossible to know what goes on in training and stuff, but I mean, it's like any workplace. Like any workplace, you might have a bit of a tiff with anyone. Like, I don't imagine all our players, we have what, a squad of 25. I'm sure they're not all best mates. We don't need them all to be best mates. As long as they play well on the pitch, it doesn't really matter. Roy Keane used to say this. I mean, he does say this all the time. I'm sure he had no friends, apparently, apart from Dennis Irwin. But you don't need to be mates. You just need to, you know, go out there and perform. So I don't really care what's going on, as long as they're performing.
No, that is what ultimately matters. And I think too many people believe too many of these stories that are all out there. And it happens every time. If we get a couple of good results, then the papers kind of quiet down. And every time we have a few draws or drop a few points, then, yeah, they pile on and some kind of leak comes out. It's just, you know, it's not coincidental at all. They're all, and everybody wants to read about Manchester United's woes.
Yeah, it's clicks as well, isn't it? Like, put Man United in the headline, it gets you clicks at the end of the day. So why not just run with the story? The thing that I don't get is, if Gary Neville knows who the leak is, surely the club know, and then surely they can frigging, like, stop whoever it is. I don't really get it, but maybe Gary Neville's full of shit. Who knows?
Yeah, it is kind of strange ones there. And it is a bizarre thing nowadays with all the social media and all. You know, you didn't have these kind of things. Like, I know Ferguson kept a much tighter control on communications from players and stuff like that. And I think it's probably the likes of Wayne Rooney who were the first ones who started using the media when they were putting stories out, you know, when he had those couple of fallouts over him asking for a transfer and things like that. But it's been like kind of big part of the modern game now. I thought Ralph had dealt with it relatively well when players like Lingard or Martial had started questioning things he'd said, which I'd not like at all. But one thing I will throw out there, though, is that what about Ralph? If he's got this record now, most points since he's come in, apart from Manchester City, does he not have a shout for staying on longer in the job?
I mean, but he is staying on longer, but he's just going upstairs. So I think that's where he needs to go. I think that's the plan. I think we need an elite level coach to come in. And there are two available. I think Poch has said he's leaving PSG, hasn't he? That is a thing that's happened, hasn't he?
I don't think it's like been officially announced. I think it's like been like unofficially made known.
Yeah. But basically, you're going to have Ten Hag, you're going to have Poch available in the summer. You have to appoint one of them. I'm not even Poch's biggest fan, to be honest with you. But like, that is the level of coach that the club want and they should go get.
And do you think there's anyone else on the list?
No. I mean, Enrique, maybe. I would like to think maybe Potter's on the list as well. But I'm not sure he would be.
He's a favourite of yours, but I don't think he will be on the list.
I don't think he will be on the list.
As well, like, I can't see him leaving the Spain job before the World
Cup. No, not before the World Cup, but maybe there could be some sort of job share nonsense going on. Back in the old days, you used to have international managers who managed clubs as well. That was a thing, wasn't it?
There was a thing, but I don't think there was ever that many who did, like, a top big club.
No, but I do think it'll be Poch or Ten Hag, and I think the only other big club job that's going to come available is the Madrid job, I believe, and the PSG job technically if Poch goes. But I mean, if you're going to, I think PSG could. I honestly think they could end up getting Ancelotti if Madrid let him go. So.
Yeah, Zidane is obviously available.
And there's Zidane around as well, I think. Yeah, Zidane probably to PSG is probably a thing as well, isn't it? So I can't see why the club wouldn't go for that. And yes, Ralph has done a decent job of standing ship, but ultimately, like, the football's still not been great. Let's not, like, the results have been okay. Even then, the results haven't been great. We did lose a game under... We lost to Wolves under Ralph.
Yeah, we lost. Yeah, one.
Yeah, when Nick earlier said we haven't lost a game under Ralph, what he meant was we've lost one game under Ralph. That's what he meant. I've been racking my brains thinking, I swear we lost a game, and yeah, we lost to Wolves under Ralph. So the results haven't been great as well. There was also the draw against Newcastle.
There were draws against Villa. There was like three or even four times we gave away leading positions.
So I mean, it's not been exactly like I'm obviously out of the cup, so. while it's been better, still not amazing. So
far from amazing, but I actually think that we've played pretty well for this month, which was like a pretty vital month for us. That, you know, we had a lot of games. I think something like, what, 8 games?
Fair. Even. But I mean, we did draw against Southampton and Burnley this month.
But yeah, we didn't play badly though. Both times we made chances. We should have finished more. So I thought we deserved like at least a draw, if not more. Thought we should have really won those games.
I thought Southampton we weren't great. I would say Southampton. We had a bit of. I remember the XG was quite high, but I remember I disagreed with the XG in that one. It gave some daft scores, some daft chances. I felt, but yeah. I thought we were poor in that game, especially at home as well. Like, that's the kind of game you want to be winning at home. And yeah, Southampton were on a decent run at that point, but even still. Basically, he's doing a fine job from where we were under Ole, but I think there is a much bigger space to improve.
Yeah, fair enough. Before we wrap up today, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Trust me, your confidence will be blooming like the flowers this upcoming spring. Time to clear out that winter bush and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Use code UNITEDHOUR20 to get 20% off at manscaped.com. And yeah, while we're talking about some spring cleaning, if people hadn't noticed, if you were listening to us before, we used to be hosted on Spreaker. We're no longer. We're now hosted on Megaphone. But it's probably best if you try and follow us through Apple, Spotify, or one of the kind of Google podcast apps. And yeah, make sure you subscribe and get the notifications whenever our new shows come out. Imran's actually been doing a very good job recently on some editing as well. So yeah. You can give him some. But I know, Imran, I'm going to push you on it on the show here. We've had a couple or three or four like requests saying, whatever happened to the trivia? And I said, look, that was all Imran's stupid game. So, yeah, waiting for another round of that.
There are some waiting in the wings. When we get a three-man pod, then one will be unleashed. But, yes, and I'll keep you waiting until then. It's not a quiz without three people.
Yeah, that's true, actually. We've done a lot of duos recently.
And so, and one-man pods, Nick.
I know, yeah. That was
Nick afterwards said he never wants to do one of them again.
I'd had a few drinks that day and I said, yeah, look, why not? Let's throw it out there. What's the worst thing that can happen? But yeah, look, rounding up here, as I say, we've not played well today, but we've come out with
there
a
was one more
draw.
One comment, sorry. It's funny how we had this whole conversation about getting into the Champions League top four on a night where we played in the Champions League. Neither of us entertained the idea that we could actually win this competition.
I at the moment, I'll be happy just to get through this tie. Like, you know, when we had this draw, I thought, oh my God, it was like one of the most difficult draws we could have had. And we weren't in good form at the time either. So yeah, at the moment, we're just happy to get through it. And yeah, you see what it throws up there.
Yeah, but it didn't even occur to either of us.
It's I'm one who's always very, very optimistic and ready to throw a bit of money on some outside bets, but I won't be putting any money on us winning the Champions League. But at the same time, yeah, look, stranger things have happened. At this point last season, I'm not sure many people would have given Chelsea any point of winning the Champions League. And, you know, they managed to pull it off from there. If we can get a bit of form going, then, yeah, it's definitely not impossible. But we'll see where we're at. Like I said, at this point, I'm still just going to be happy to get through this tie. Because even though you feel pretty happy coming back with a draw, this tie is far, far from over. I actually can remember going out to the Bernabeu at Madrid and being that ecstatic that we were 0-0 there. I think it was 2000. I mean, it was actually the year after we'd won the Champions League. We went out to Madrid, got a 0-0, and then got turned over at home, basically.
Was it the 3-2 game?
It was the one where like Redondo did like a ridiculous skill on.
Yeah, that was, and then Raul. Yeah. That was 3-2. Yeah, I remember that game.
So yeah, look, like I say, no chickens being counted just yet. There's still another 90 minutes of football to play.
To be fair, what I would say is, if you basically avoid City and Bayern, is there anyone else really you should be afraid of in this Champions League? Probably not even PSG, really.
Not really, but at the same time, you know, you wouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah, you won't be happy if you drew them. But what I'm saying is, like, City, Liverpool, Bayern, I think we're like heavy underdogs. But anyone else you could see as kind of squirming our way through. Even against one of them, we could eat City. We could, well, maybe not City, but I don't know. I never feel confident being City and all Liverpool, I guess. But yeah, we could squirm our way through, maybe.
Yeah, no, and look, I'd be ecstatic even just to get to like the semi-finals or something like that. It's a long time since we had a decent run in this competition.
Do you think we'll make it through in the second round? I think that's not the second, in the second tie, second leg.
Oh yeah, of course I do. Yeah, definitely do. This point, one thing to point out though, and some people might have missed, is that there's no away goals this season. So the 1-1 you would normally have been extra happy with is much better the result than a 0-0. But it's actually going to make no difference. I think you would end up going to like extra time and penalties if it's equal on that. So yeah, we see from there what happens. So yeah, that we don't get advantage from that away goal, unfortunately. And I am kind of happy with that. I always thought going out on away goals was one of the worst things, worse than a penalty shootout.
Yeah, it will make for more interesting ties overall. It is a bit annoying this particular one because it would work in our advantage, but overall, I think it is a better thing for the competition.
So yeah, I think that's probably about it. As I said, we've given you a bonus pod over here after only doing one a few days ago. I'm not sure if we'll do one on the weekend. We may well do, but yeah, we will be back in the next week. Until then, yeah, hit us up on Twitter is the main place to get us. But yeah, you can see us on Facebook, Instagram and Patreon as well.
Yep, cheers guys.
Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.